I'm going to be preaching on the time when the Apostle Paul and these men are called in a storm over here in Acts chapter 27. I'll give you what the Lord's given me this week. In Acts chapter 27, are you glad to be here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, looking for Jesus to come, say amen. Amen. Every morning we get up, we ought to be looking for Him. Instead of being focused on this world, we ought to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I get focused on this world more than what I should a lot of times. But we ought to be focused on Him. Good to be here. All right, Acts chapter 27. Look in verse 41. And falling into place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. I've always wondered, and if you've read this story, I've always wondered, where are they going to swim to? They're in the middle of a storm right here. Where are they going to swim out to and escape? I've always wondered that. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped, all safe to land. I'll let you be seated this morning. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We certainly do need you more than we could ever know. And Lord, we pray for those that are here that might be lost, that would need to come and get saved. I pray that move this morning. But Lord, as we preach this message, Lord, preach it on some storms that might be in our life. I pray that you would help those that are here that might be trapped or caught in the middle of a storm. That, Lord, that this might give them comfort and give them direction this morning. Lord, as one preacher said one time, we're either in a storm, headed to one, or coming out of one. And Lord, I know that they rise up in our life many times and kind of surprise us from time to time. And I pray, Lord, that we'd always be faithful to look to you. I'm glad that you're God that'll help us no matter what. And that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to die for us, but that He loves us and going to see us through whatever may happen. And Lord, we pray this morning, help that dear soul that needs help. Now Lord, save that sinner to his tail and help us while we preach. And touch us and anoint us afresh today. And we'll give you the glory for it all, for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. I got a pretty long message this morning, so we didn't even have much of an introduction. But most of us, if you have studied your Bible, knows that the Apostle Paul and 275 other men are on this ship, and we understand what's happened. They have sailed. So far, Paul is trying to get to Rome and that to stand before who's he standing before here, Mark? Let's think about this for a minute. He's trying to get over there to stand before the ruler of that day. It'll come to me after a while. Caesar, there he is. Finally got there. Amen. He's going to stand before Caesar. But we find that they've traveled and they've went and they've come and that to a place called the Fair Havens. Now, we've read the end of this story right here, and we know that they've been through a storm, and they get to land safe. Now, I'm glad that no matter what, for the child of God, for us that are saved, that friend, no matter what kind of storm we're in, it will come to an end, and we'll be safe at the end of it all. Hey, it may look like it's going to kill us, and it may kill us before it's over with, but I'm glad on the authority of God's Word that He'll see us through. But I want to look at some things about this storm and preach with a thought on holding on for dear life. I believe that these men that were in this ship, as we're going to see this storm, friend, it's different than being on a storm on land. A lot of times we can run and hide and get away from the storm as it blows up and the thunder cracks and the lightning flashes and the winds blowing. We can go inside somewhere, get in a basement and hide ourselves from what's outside and what's going on. But friend, when you're in the middle of the sea and you're in that ship and that thing's being tossed to and fro, there's nowhere and that to hide from it. And I believe that's a Christian's life a lot of times. As we're in the midst of the storm, it's like being in that ship that's tossed to and fro and worked back and forth. I take your Bible and go back to a little bit part of the first chapter in chapter 27. And you'll learn that, first of all, number one, it was a storm that could have been avoided. Can I tell you that there's sometimes there's storms that come up in our life that could have been avoided. If you'll look in verse verse 8. They're fixing to get on the ship. They're fixing to go. And the Bible said, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens. Now, whereunto was the city of Lycia. And now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished him. You know what that word admonished means? It means to warn. And so here stands the Apostle Paul, the preacher, and he admonishes them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part, it buys to part thence also. If by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and their winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. So I want you to get in. And by the way, as I preach, it probably ain't going to be a whole lot that you've not ever heard me preach before. But listen, here they are. And they're in a place that is called the Fair Havens. Now, a haven is a place of safety. And I'll be honest with you, that just sounds like a good place to be, don't it? I mean, in the Fair Havens. I mean, why would anybody want to leave there? Amen. Hey, me and my wife live in a place that is called tranquility. You know what? It generally lives up to its name. Amen. Who would ever want to leave a place that is called tranquility? And so here they are. They dunk. They port it in this bay and in this haven that is a little safe and that from the sea. And it's called the Fair Havens. But they decide that they're going to go on and sail and that to another place. They're trying to get around and at the bottom of the island that they're at right there. And they're trying to get over to Phoenicia. Now let me say this before I move on. They're just wanting to go 50 miles. If you look on the map, all they're wanting to do is travel 50 miles. And the Bible says that they're going to sail and that close to the island. I believe they're coming from the Fair Havens. They're wanting to go over here to Phoenicia. That is another place that they can winter at. They knew winter was coming. They knew that times the storms were going to come. And they were just trying to get there because it was a better place. Let me say this today, that where they at was a good place. Where they were was a good place. A lot of times we miss a good place for looking for something better a lot of times. You ever been guilty of that? Boy, we miss what we're looking at. You know, it's what Brother Larry Seals said one time about our church. He said, you come to this church and it's just like eating chicken. And I didn't know where he was headed with that. But he said, when you go to somewhere else, to some other church and you eat bad chicken, you come back here and it's awful good to sit down and eat again. And I'm going to tell you, not every church is like our church. But listen, not everywhere that you're at in life is it. It may look better somewhere else, but you better be careful before you leave. Let me say this, that the centurion, after Paul admonished them, he warned them and told them what was going to happen. Listen, are we telling the truth this morning? Amen. Hey, I got a couple right there. We're getting awful quiet. Listen, he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Paul laid it all out there. He said, it's going to get us all. It's not only going to get what's on the ship. It's not only going to get the ship, but it's liable to kill us before we can get off this thing. So he understood what was going to take place. I always wondered how Paul knew that. But he warned them and he said, look, you're in a good place. You better be careful before you get on the ship and decide that you're going to pull out and go somewhere else and going to go haven to another haven. How that sounds a little better and looks a little better because see, something happens. But the centurion took bad counsel, didn't he? Hey, you better be careful who you take counsel from. Now, these are people that should have known better. Do you realize that? These are people that should know sailing. These are people that should have knew what was coming. Bible said in verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. I can't remember which preacher it was. I said it didn't say that he didn't believe Paul.
He just believed the master and the owner of the ship more. I've got a feeling that there's people that believe the Word of God. They believe what the Bible has to say. They believe what the preacher's preaching. But a lot of times they'll take counsel somewhere else and believe it more than what the Bible says. You better be careful who you take counsel from. Mom and Dad, you better be careful the counsel that you give your children. Grandparents, you better be careful of the counsel that you give your grandchildren. Hey, they're coming to you. I look and I need to be careful of the counsel that I give, because folk are looking and needing some help a lot of times and think that we may have the answer. We should have the answer, but we should have the right answer. And so here's some men that should have known better. And by the way, if you look in verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart. So everybody on the ship is saying, we need to go. We need to get in this ship and get headed out while things are in good shape, and we can get there and we'll have a good winter over there in the haven of Crete. Now, I always get nervous when everybody gets in agreement a lot of times. I know that we should agree. Don't misunderstand. We're already getting one accord. I love the Lord and serve Him. But I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like when there is a multitude in agreement on things, when the preacher has stood and warned against it, and everybody else says, hey, it'll be okay. When the preacher stands and the Word of God stands and say, don't do this, don't go this way, don't go this direction, but everybody else is telling you that it's okay to do it, you better back up and watch. You better look. As I studied this message, I thought about a young lady that her mother was giving her counsel. And I'm talking about a mother that should know the Lord, a mother that should love her daughter enough to tell her the truth, but to keep from making her mad, she told her what she wanted to hear, and let her go do what she wanted to do, and finish doing nothing but costing her now because of all the life that she's living. It doesn't matter what you tell your children. Amen? It doesn't matter how you guide them. And it doesn't matter who you take counsel from. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 24, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. So as we look at this right here, it said that when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. And they thought they had got what they needed. They had struggled to have wind to get where they're at now. They had struggled. I mean, listen, this ain't no little boat. Okay, this is a ship that is carrying 276 souls. I carrying all the tackling, all the wheat. As you'll find out here after a while, I mean, this thing is loaded up. This is a great big ship. Ain't no little thing. We get in our mind a lot of times when we look at stories like this, or at least I do, that this is a little boat. It ain't, friend. It's a great big boat. And it's got a big old sail on it. As we'll read on here in a minute, it talks about them striking sail, letting the ship drive. And I mean, this is a big old sailing ship, if you'd let me put it that way. But notice what happens right here as they're going. They make when things look good, they make a supposition, don't they? Said, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing. They suppose some stuff. Do we ever suppose stuff? We make a supposition about things. Believe that it is that way, but not for sure. But they suppose that they had obtained their purpose, loosing fence. They sail close by Crete. So they turn loose from that harbor. They turn loose from the fair havens. And as they're sailing around Crete, the bottom of Crete, and no doubt, I don't know if they could see the island out there or not. I mean, said they were going to sail close. And I believe they had it in their mind that we'll just go out here a little ways. We're going to sail about 50 miles. We'll be there in a day or two. And we can see the land over there all the time. But then here comes the problem. In verse 14, if you look, we find that there was a what? There was a storm that they could have avoided. But then we find number two, a ship that gets caught. When the south wind blew, they thought they had figured out what they needed to do. You know, if they would have just hung out here for another day or two, well, think about this for just a second. They would have realized that storm was there. If they would have just hung out for just a little bit, you know what a Euroclodon is? That's what we're coming into. It says right here, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclodon. A Euroclodon is a cyclonic. Now you look it up and it says it's a cyclonic, tempestuous, that's what it uses, northeast wind which blows in the Mediterranean. That's where they're at. Mostly in autumn and wintertime. And so that's why they were trying to get over there, is to get to a place where they could winter until spring comes in and they were going to sail on to Rome. So they were looking for a place that they could do good at, I guess you might say, and winter there and everything would be alright, but we see that what happens. In verse 15, after the Euroclodon comes, it says in verse 15, and when the ship was caught. Now, when something is caught, it's trapped, ain't it? Right? I mean, you catch something, you catch a ball, you caught it, it's trapped in your glove, or it's kept caught in your hand, whether it's a football or whether it's a basketball, it's caught. I was going to say something about catching my wife, but I don't know if she caught me or I caught her. I ain't sure about all that. Young life, it's okay. Well, look what happens when the ship was caught. What was their idea? Their idea was, we're just going to sail close to the bottom of the island. And we're just going to go just about 50 miles and we'll be where we need to be at. But we're now caught. And notice right here that when they get caught, and again I have to come back and say this, that those that were sailing should have known better. Well, we're just going to go a little bit, just a little ways, I believe, that we may, I'll take the chance on it, is what they say. How many of us has ever took chances? I mean, seriously, how many of us has ever took chances? I've took plenty of chances over the years and come out good on them. I can remember that when I'd work a public job, that if we was in a man lift, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about, a scissor lift. I've actually worked on them scissor lifts, and they wouldn't be high enough. They'd go about 19 feet in the air, and I've worked off them things where I was standing up on the rail, which is no more than about an inch wide. And I've walked that thing all the way around through there, just trying to work off that so that I could reach up far enough and work. That's taking a chance, man. I mean, I'm no longer 19 feet in the air, and I mean, that's high enough, but now I'm, the length of that thing, that's another 3 feet, so I'm up 22 feet in the air, and there's nothing between me and the floor except falling. That's taking a chance. And I've done good every time. The Lord, obviously watches over ignorant preachers sometimes. Dumb preachers. Because I should have known better. And what they're doing is they're taking a chance. And a lot of times in our Christian life, we take chances that we shouldn't take. You know, if I would consult somebody about getting up on the edge of that man lift, they'd say, no, you probably shouldn't do that. It's awful dangerous. I just need to get up there for a minute to do this job. It'll be a whole lot easier to get up there and do it that way than it would be to go get another lift or to find some other way to get up there to the rest of that ceiling. But still, the safest thing that would have been to have done would have been to stood in that man lift. Now, I might have found somebody that could have agreed with me and said, yeah, it ain't going to hurt you to stand up there. Just be careful. You ever been told that? My father says when you work maintenance, he says you just have to do unsafe things the safest way that you know how sometimes. And that's what we've done a lot of times. But right here, the problem is they've already been warned. It ain't that they didn't know better. It ain't that they wasn't told better. It's that they should have known better right here. And the Apostle Paul told them, he said, look, he said, we're going to go out and it's going to cost us before it's over with. And so now they come out, they loose from Crete, they want to sail by just close to it. Listen, that's what happens to a lot of people. Listen, when they leave a good Bible believing church, I'm just going to go over here and visit this church for a little while or go over here. Or I'm going to take a week or two off. I'm going to do this and do that. And before you know it, you're cold and you've got away from God. But that's in a storm of our own making. But you have to realize that the Apostle Paul, Luke is on board with him because he's writing this book. And you even find in the first part of the chapter, chapter 27, you'll find that there is a man on board that ship, Aristarchus, who is a fellow prisoner with Paul, who was a saved man. And so there's at least three saved people on this ship. And probably more by the time they get done, if you'll know the truth. But there's at least three saved people, and Paul's warning them not to go, and here they go, but see, it's not their making that this happened. Can I tell you, I've looked at it, and we see that sometimes we get in places that is our fault, but then I believe that a lot of times we get in storms that is not our fault. If a storm blowed up today while we are here, it would be not my fault. It would not be my fault that it blowed up on us. But if I seen it coming and intentionally drove out there into it, it'd be my fault I got into it, wouldn't it? I remember one time we were leaving the house, and when we went to church at Lee's and we went up to Sweetwater, and as we got ready to pull out, you can make a right or left and make a decision coming out of our driveway. If we wanted to go up Highway 68 to go to Sweetwater, we could go out and hit the interstate and go all the way up to Sweetwater up the interstate. And there's about a 5 minutes difference. That's all the difference it was from our house. And we come out one Sunday night, and I look to the left, and man, you could see the darkest storm clouds that you ever seen just about in your life. And I told my wife, I said, we're not going that way. So I turn right and go and hit the interstate and fly down the interstate. And when we get to Sweetwater, guess what we ran into? The same storm. But you know the great thing about it was the sun was shining while we were coming down the interstate. Now I can say there that there's a lot of times that we can see the storm and try to avoid it as much as we can. But sometimes it still gets us. As I prayed a few minutes ago, some of you heard me say that, talking about the preacher who said how that we're either entering into one, coming out of one, we're in the middle of one. It seems a lot of times. But this ship in verse 15 is now caught. They have sailed close by Crete, but that storm was close enough and back to that island to catch that ship. That's why I say they should have been able to look out and should have seen it coming. I don't understand that. I mean, some of y'all have been on the ocean and you can see out through there for miles and miles and miles and see that storm coming. Seems to me they should have been able to see it. So here they are. This ship is caught. I want you to look at what happens right here. In verse 15, the Bible said, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Look in verse 17. And which wind they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, straight sail, and so let her drive. You realize that this ship is now out of control? They have no control of what's going on to this ship. What they've done is it's just now at the mercy of the sea. They're just riding this thing out. They're just trying to get to a place out of where they might find a little safety. They're trying to get out of the storm. But this thing has now caught them and will not turn them loose. Can I ask you if you've ever been in a storm in the middle of your Christian life that feels like it has caught you and will not turn you loose? I want you to look at what he says right here in verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Have you ever been in a storm? And friend, when you look out and there is no sun, there is no stars, and they realize that this was not a small storm, but it was a great storm, and it was not going to turn them loose for any amount of time. And he said that all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You ever been there in your Christian life? You ever been there when you look up to heaven, you can't see heaven because it's dark? You ever been there where you can't see the sunshine? How the stars don't even shine. There's no clear path to heaven. You wonder if there's even a heaven. If God's even in heaven. Your faith has got weak. And here the Apostle Paul said that all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You ever run into people that says, you ask them how they're doing, I'm too blessed to be depressed. What are they going to do when the bottom falls out from under their life? The preacher, you're painting an awful damper. No, I want you to understand life this morning and your Christian life. Not everything is a bed of roses. The sun is not always going to shine. Paul knew what was going to happen, and yet he still caught in the same storm that he warned them about. Ain't that amazing? You reckon that he went to Luke and went to Aristarchus and said, boys, we need to get to praying because it's about to get bad. He'd seen it coming. Have you ever stood back and looked at somebody's life, being on the outside looking in, and you could see the storm coming? I mean, you've warned them, or somebody's warned them and told them not to go down this road. You don't need to do this. You don't need to head that direction. You don't need this job. You don't need that mate. Hey, what is... You couldn't convince me of a lot of things when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I probably wouldn't even probably slow down to listen to a lot of people. But I've learned one thing over the years. I may not agree with what you're telling me, but I will sit there and listen to what you have to say. Because I think if somebody cares for you and they're trying to tell you the truth, you would at least have enough to sit there and listen to what they have to say. You say, well, I don't necessarily believe what they're telling me. I'm not asking you to believe, but I'm asking you to listen. And so here they are. They're driving to and fro. I don't know how I got there, but it's good. So they had to let her drive. I want you to imagine for just a second being in a ship that has no control. I remember me and my wife being in the bay out there at Charleston, South Carolina. And we went out in the bay and they're riding us around, letting us look at all the lighthouses and all the pretty houses and all those things. And the wind wasn't necessarily up, but the waves were, wasn't they? And, boy, I mean, that little ship there, and it wasn't a little ship, but I don't know, they might have been 50 to 60 of us on this boat, and we're looking at everything, and man, that thing was just rocking back and forth while we were up on top of it. And my wife, she could only handle so much of that with that vertigo, and next thing I know, we're in down in the bottom of the ship. Standing in the middle of the ship on the bottom. And that thing's moving about this much. I always wondered why Jonah went down in the very bottom of the ship when he went to go to sleep. You know, the ship don't move as much in the bottom as it does on the top. Give you something to think about there. So here they are. They're in the middle of that thing. It's one thing to be on a boat that is in a storm that's got control. Imagine their fear that they had when they had to let go of that ship. And they realized that they had no control. It's one thing for me to go into a storm and I can see it raining. And I'm talking about spiritually. And I can see that it's dark. And I can see the other side and say, I'm going to come out on it. But when you get into one that is so dark and it's caught you and will not turn loose of you, and you've just got to take your hands off of it and say, Lord, here we are. I need some help. That is a fearful place to be a lot of times. I believe even the Apostle Paul had some fear in his heart because when we come, or at least in his life, because when the servant of the Lord comes, the angel of the Lord comes in verse 24, one of the first things he says is, "Fear not, Paul." So they were afraid. How do you know they were afraid? Because if you look in verse 16, the Bible said, "Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship." They thought this thing was going to fly apart. I remember a story that my dad told me when he was in the Navy in the late 60s and 1970, maybe 71. And he was on the USS Independence and they had to make a high-speed run from where they were over to the Mediterranean Sea. And there were some things going on there in the late 60s. And he said, "We had to make a high-speed run." And he said, "I laid in that bunk all night on that ship." And he said that thing would do 39 miles an hour, 34 knots. And he said that ship would do 39 miles. That's pretty big to get an aircraft carrier moving 39 miles an hour in the water. And he said, "But I laid in that bunk," and he said, "that thing vibrated and rattled and shook and made all kinds of sounds all night long till we got to where we were going." Imagine being on the boat that Paul's on. Imagine the sound that this ship's making. Stay with me for just a minute. You've got the wind blowing, no doubt. There's lightning cracking, thunder roaring, but this ship that they're on, it's cracking and bucking and bowing, listening and making all kinds of racket. This is a wood ship. It ain't a metal ship. And we get in the middle of our storm in our little boat, and that thing starts cracking. It starts making racket. And boy, we know it's just going to fly apart. Have you ever been in the middle of a storm where you think it's just going to fly apart? You ever just thought your life was going to fly apart? That you wasn't going to be able to hold it together? I mean, listen, when I had that message on tug of war and had them pulling on me up here, and I kind of think that these boys, as they drop them ropes off the front or off the back of that ship and come down all the way each side and pull them up and tie them off to hold that ship together. But they seen that this ship was in trouble and it needed some help. I'm going to tell you, it's a good day when you realize in the middle of the storm that you can't handle it, that you're letting that thing drive and that you need some help. You know, sometimes we can come through a storm and not need no help. But there's other times that we're going to need help to get through that storm. We ain't going to be able to handle it. We ain't going to be able to take it on by ourselves. Hey, we're going to need to stay faithful to church. Hey, we're going to need the fellowship and that of the saints. What is it when we get in the middle of a storm that we want to run off and hide somewhere? What is it, hey, that we don't want no help? We don't want nobody to know what we're going through. We don't want nobody to see us cry. We don't want nobody to see us have a bad day. We don't want nobody to know what we're thinking. And our world's about to blow apart. And all the time we just need some help. You say, "I've took it to the Lord. I wanted the Lord to take it and handle it and see it through." And there's no doubt that the Apostle Paul and these men are praying and seeking, and they're doing all that they can to hold this ship together. So here they are. That thing's popping and cracking. They're tossed to and fro. Look in verse 18. "And we've been exceedingly tossed with the tempest." The next day they lighten the ship. You know, sometimes you just got to get rid of some things that just don't matter anymore. Now, why would they be lightening the ship? That ship is so far in the water. You know, I don't hardly ever get in a boat enough to make no never mind. But you know, there's a portion of that boat below the water and a portion of it above the water. It just ain't sitting on top of the water. I forget, I looked up the specs on the USS Independence last night that Daddy served on, and I believe that thing had 120 feet in the water. And if they were loaded to capacity, they could load to 240 feet in the water. That's how far they could go down. Now, let me say this. if you're going to be 120 feet or 240 feet below the water, you got to know what the bottom of that ocean looks like, don't you? You just ain't floating on top. You've got some stuff on the bottom. So what I'm coming to is, not only is there things that you see out here that you've got to be concerned with, not only do you have to be concerned that the waves are about to beat this ship apart, but then there's some things that you've got to be concerned with that you don't see. How do you know? The Bible says over here in verse 28, well, let me pick up in verse 27, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in the Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew nigh to some country, so they could see some land out there, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So where we had a fathom is 6 feet. Listen, they're dropping a chain, a sounding line. That's a nautical term. They're dropping a chain. It's every 6 feet makes a fathom. And so they're 120 feet off the bottom of the ocean floor. They come back up and they're five less fathoms. 30 feet less. So that'd be 90 feet, wouldn't it? And they're fearing that they're going to run in and run this thing aground. So they're tossed. You say, "Preacher, you're just making this thing sound like a wonderful thing." I don't know where you're at in your life, in your Christian life. I don't know what the storm's doing to you. But I can tell you one thing. It'll try to tear your little boat apart. It'll try to tear your big boat apart. We stand there a lot of times and think that we're something else. We stand there with pride in our heart and snigger at the devil and tell him that he can't whoop us and he's far greater than we are. And a storm blows up in our life, whether it was of our making or not, and we think that we can handle this, that we can weather it out, and we'll come through it with no problems. We'll come through it all together. And I'm glad by God's help we can do that. And He'll see us through it. We'll see that here in a minute. But it was with not work or without worry and without waiting that these men went through. If you look in verse 33, you'll find that they've been at it for 14 days. Could you imagine being on a ship in the middle of the sea for 14 days caught in this Euroclodon? We have a storm that blows through, and if it lasts for 30 minutes, man, that's a long time. Folk that live on the coast that suffer through in that hurricanes, they go through it for 12, maybe 24 hours, and that was a long time. Hurricane John, it was out in the Pacific in 1994, lasted for 31 days, longest storm that they've got on recorded record. I don't know how long this Euroclodon lasted, but I know that their ship was caught in it for 14 days. That would seem like a lifetime, wouldn't it? Some of y'all been fighting the same storm, it seems, for such a long time. And you're trapped in it. And you can't get away from it. And we're kind of like Paul when we look up in Luke, when we look up to heaven, and we don't see a sun and we don't see no stars. And we wonder what's going on. For 14 days and 14 nights, I'm getting ahead of myself, but these men do not eat. And they did not partake of any bread, nothing that they've done. They've been fasting. Now the great thing that I love about the Lord is we're about to see is that even in the midst of our storm and in the midst of the nighttime, He will come by. Psalm 17 and verse 3 said, "Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me, and thou shalt find nothing." Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, Paul and Silas is in down in the middle of that prison. No doubt it's dark. It's a dungeon. It's a damp. No doubt there's rats everywhere. They've got Roman soldiers on each side of them. And here they sit down there and they're singing and that the praises of God. They're praying unto the Lord. And at midnight, God came by. Psalms chapter 77, David said, I called remembrance my song in the night. Can I encourage you, friend, that when the winds blow, you're trapped in a storm that won't let you go. Friend, find a song. Begin to sing, commune with your heart and that about what God can do and will do, and He will show up. Paul said in verse 21, we find a servant that gets a message. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. That's a preacher for you, ain't it? I told you so. I told you that was going to happen. But he goes on. He says, Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I am served, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given them all that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. First of all, the Apostle Paul, who's in the same storm, gets a message from the Lord. He says, Paul, going to lose the ship, but you're going to make it. Now, no doubt that had to calm some fears inside him. You're going to get through it. You're going to be cast on a certain island, and all these are sailing with you. That's in the midst of this storm, they're going to come through it too. Don't you love it when the Lord can come by in the midst of a storm, a friend, that where all hope was taken away, that she's going to be saved in verse 20, and now God comes by and says, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Look what Paul said. For I believe God. You know what some of you need to do, what I need to do? Believe God. Trust Him. Know that He's going to see us through. Know that He's going to finish this thing. Know that He's going to bring it to an end. The Apostle Paul stands up there and says, Look, with the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul said, I belong to God. I'm saved by the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to bring me through it. If you ain't saved, I'd get saved today. I trust Him. You may be in the midst of a storm, that friend, that you ain't never seen. And without Christ, listen, you ain't going to come through it that well. So here stands the Apostle Paul. He says, be of good cheer. I always thought that's kind of funny. They're in the midst of a storm, but after 14 days, and Paul just all of a sudden stands out there and says, Remember, I told you shouldn't have done this. But God come by. And he said, be of good cheer, because we're going to make it. You know what the Bible said right here? Let's see if we can find it right here. Let's come down through here. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. Here it is. Paul got done talking here, looking at verse 34. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when they had broken it, he began to eat. And then they were all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. They were of good cheer. They're still in the storm. Things are still raging. But they see an end to this thing. They see an end. I know the story of, you can go back and look, Pan Am Flight number 6 that flew out of Honolulu, I believe it was in 1961. It was a four-prop plane, and it was flying to San Diego. And just as they passed the point of no return, it was in the middle of the night. And this was back when flying was fun. If you look at the pictures of the plane, they had cabins where you could sleep on the plane and sit on the plane. But it cost a lot more to fly than it did now. But just as they passed the point of no return, the far right engine, began to run away. The governor wouldn't work, and that plane was sitting over there, and that engine was sitting over there, and it was running away with itself. And they feared that thing so much that they thought it was going to destroy itself, and it would tear the plane apart. And so they cut the oil off going to it, and that seized part of that engine up. And so now they've got drag that they didn't think that they were going to have on the way, but they knew that they could still make it. 10 more minutes into the flight, the far left engine over here stalled out and wouldn't restart. So now they're flying with two engines on the inside, and they've now realized they're past the point of no return, and they don't have enough fuel to get to San Diego. They're doing the math, figuring it all out. And so what they decided is probably about 20 minutes ago, before this one died, they had flew over a Coast Guard cutter that stayed out there in the middle of the sea, and that to radio weather reports to airplanes. And so they turned around and come back and radioed to that ship down there and said, we're going to have to ditch in the ocean, but it's pitch dark. So what they decided to do is they decided that they would just circle that ship until it got daylight. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Imagine being in that airplane for 5 hours. They said they circled for 5 hours up in the air until it got daylight, and they decided that they would ditch in the ocean. Think about this right here. Paul's telling them, we're going to lose the ship. If I was on a boat in the middle of a storm and somebody came to me and said, we're going to lose the ship, I'm probably going to lose my mind. I mean, let's just be honest about things. He said, God can calm you, and I'm glad that He can, and He does calm us. And to tell you the rest of that story, they ditched that thing. But here was a great thing. You're talking about the Lord being on board that ship and also on board that airplane. The head of the stewardesses remembered when another plane had landed in the ocean that it got caught and tore the tail end of that plane off, so she had everybody move up to the front and to the middle of the cabin. And when that ship landed in the ocean, it done real good, but it caught a swell on the right-hand side and it turned that ship around and just broke that thing in half, and the tail end was setting back fire. And the people on that Coast Guard cutter said, we could not believe what we saw. Didn't figure nobody was going to make it. And said, then all of a sudden, here came the people out of the front of that plane, had their rubber life rafts, had on their life jackets, and said they had everybody rescued off that thing less than 10 minutes. I was ready to go. And the plane sunk in to the ocean. For 5 hours, they circled and knew what was going to take place. So here sits these men. They know what's about to happen. But Paul says, we're going to be all right. Can I tell you that if you'll just trust the Lord, it'll be all right. Instead of looking at the storm and looking at the ship and listening to the ship and listening to the enemy and worried about what's underneath, you need to listen to the message that God sends, that I'll see you through. Number four, last of all, I'll close. Paul made a promise. Verse 34, he said, For there shall not be a hair fall from the head of any of you. That had been good news to hear. So number four, safety was had by all. In verse 39, they found a place to run the ship aground. Now they didn't run it up there to a beach where you could just jump off. Now remember, I told you part of this ship, a great amount of this ship is underground or underwater. And so they figured out where they could run this thing aground that they finally let it go. They'd had it anchored and they finally let it go and hoisted the mainsail. The Bible said in verse 40, and made toward shore. And here's where we begin to read. and fallen into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And so we find that God intervenes right here in verse 42. They wanted to kill the prisoners, but the centurion in verse 43 went on to save Paul. Notice why they got saved. Paul was on board that ship. Paul was the one that was listening to God. Paul was a one that had heeded God. Paul was the one that gave the message. And so it said right here, but the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. Can I tell you that's how some of us may come in off this storm? Listen to me now. If you don't get anything else, I want you to hear me this morning. We may come in off this storm on a board or a piece of the ship, but we're going to come in. It may be rough when we come in and it's all said and done. And we may look beat, we may look battered. I friend these men, no doubt, I mean, they were wore out. They didn't know what was happening. And finally, they got that thing stuck out of where it couldn't move. And they could see land. They said, if I could just get over there, everything would be all right. He said, preacher, I don't know how to swim. Find you a board or a piece of the ship and hold on. Remember, I'm preaching on holding on for dear life. I ain't even made mention of that a whole lot. No doubt the men held on for dear life when they were in that ship, and no doubt they held on for dear life when they got a piece of that ship and they were going in. If there's ever been an important verse right here, verse 44 is it. At the end of it, and I've preached on it before, and so it came to pass. What came to pass? What God had to say. What God told Paul was going to happen, it happened. And so it came to pass. You know, you can always count on God's word to be true, that they escaped all safe to land. If you're in a storm, I want you to understand something. Psalms 30 said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Bible said in another point that it was the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And if you've lost your joy because of the storm, you don't have much strength, but I'm going to tell you, there comes a day when the storm's done, the clouds roll back, the sun shines, and listen, it's all over with. And it's done. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I can tell you this, wherever you are, God sure can help you and wants to help you if you're His, if you're unsaved. If you're unsaved, you can come and get saved. Let's bow our head this morning across the house. Brother Jeff, you will, let's get a verse of invitation. If you need to come and pray this morning, I want you to come and pray. I want you to know that you don't have to worry so much in that storm. Know who you're serving. Know who you belong to this morning. I said, preacher, it's my fault I'm in this storm that I'm in. Lord knows that and you know that. Ask Him to help you through it. Say, Lord, just admit it to Him. Lord, I'm the cause of it. But I don't know how to get out of it. But you sure do. You may be one that says, Lord, I don't know how I got in the middle of this thing, but would you help me get out of it? I don't know what caused it. Some's praying, you need to come. I don't know what caused me to get in the middle of this storm, but here I am. Do you see me? It took 14 days and 14 nights for the angel of the Lord to come by and talk to Paul. Think about that for just a second. In the middle of that storm, 14 days and 14 nights seemed like an awful long time. 2 whole weeks, they were in that thing. You may seem like you're in the middle of a storm, but you just cannot get out of it. Friend, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is watching you. He knows. The preacher, I just can't get away from it. It won't let me go. I can't get away. He knows. He knows. You know, I have to trust Him. There may come a day that you have to put that ship and run it aground and jump off. But you get aboard. You get a piece of the ship and you hold on. And the Lord will see you in on it. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We love you. And we thank you this morning for helping us preach. I give your people what you've given me. Holding on for dear life. No doubt these men were holding on for everything. And their life was at stake. And it felt like their life was at stake. And they knew the seriousness of it. Oh, but Lord, these folk here this morning, in their Christian life, they've been in a storm, caught in a storm, and it's about to get them. They feel like it's about to get them. Nobody else might know about it. Keep a smile on their face. Come in, and nobody realizes what's going on. But Lord, they need some undergirding on the ship. That thing's about to blow apart. And they just need some help. And that to get to that certain land to where you can help them. I pray that you'll help during this invitation. And Lord, that you'll visit with hearts today. Help us. Save somebody. For in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning if we would. What page number you got, Brother Jeff?
Page 396.
I'll play for you. What key is that, Brother? If you need to come, I want you to come.